T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Atlanta United supporters, join 92.9 The Game tonight, starting at 9 at the Old Blind Dog Irish Pub in Milton, located off Crabapple Road, for Atlanta United versus Vancouver. Here on Atlanta United at the Old Blind Dog Irish Pub in Milton. It's crazy. It's match day for Atlanta United. It hardly feels like it, though, because they don't play till 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be late.
Now, that'll be on the radio station. Right. Mike Conti and Jason Longshore with your call live from Canada, from Vancouver, Canada, which, by the way, is just a phenomenal city.
Awesome.
If you get the chance to visit it. Yes. People are like, Vancouver, that's way out. It's probably cold. Yeah, it might be a little cold, but it is fun and it is worth it.
Oh, a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff to get into in Vancouver. Jason Longshore going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour, live from Vancouver at 1:20, as he always does on Wednesdays. He won't be in studio, of course, because they're getting ready for the game tonight. But yeah, a late one tonight for Atlanta United, 10 o'clock kickoff right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will we'll have you covered with all the reaction tomorrow. Hopefully they can. And again, I haven't done the research. I'll do the research in the next 2 hours, or maybe in the next hour and 20 minutes, so I can ask Jason Longshore specifically when we talk to him at 1:20. But Atlanta United is nearing the minutes record for not allowing a goal in MLS.
Right.
It's now 366 minutes since the last time they conceded a goal against, and 4 consecutive clean sheets. It's never been done before in MLS that a team has had 5 consecutive clean sheets, which means they're nearing that minutes record as well. So that would be a very fun thing to get them to accomplish tonight. And even if they don't, I know we were going to get into this conversation a little bit later in the week. We'll probably do it tomorrow. Even if they don't, Atlanta United's defense right now is one of the best units in Atlanta sports. Now, there are some good groups, whether it's an offensive line or a pitching – well, it's not a pitching staff, but you get the idea. Units, groups of players on teams. That Atlanta United defense right now is near the top. So we'll get into that tomorrow, and hopefully it'll be bolstered by them setting a record for consecutive minutes. All right. Also coming up this hour, we'll get back into what the Braves did last night at 1:20. Mike Foltynewicz's comments about not being hurt and what the Braves need to do with him. And then Todd Lewis is going to join us from the Golf Channel at 12:40 as the PGA Championship tees off tomorrow.
Yes, man.
I think people are still not used to this.
I'm one of them.
You're one of these people that's not used to this. I'm not used to it either. I'm excited about it. I'm happy that the PGA Championship starts tomorrow. Just not used to it. Usually it happens in August, and it's hot. And that's one of the factors that come into play. Apparently it's going to be cold in New York for the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black. So we'll talk to Todd Lewis about that at 12:40. Before we do any of that, though, let's get into the most important audio in the entire universe of all time ever right here to start the noon hour.
It's not the elbow. You know, it's just, I don't know if it's mechanically or mentally or something, but, I mean, I get to 1-2-0-2 easily. I mean, we've seen it in the past with me. You know, I get there and then it all, you know, happens. After that, maybe it's like, you know, trying to overthrow my slider, you know, make it better than it is, trying to throw harder. It's all this kind of stuff kind of comes into play. And like you said, it gets a 2-strike season, and then all of a sudden it's mind blank.
And then it all happens. It sure does, Fulty. All 8 earned runs of it happen.
Yeah, and you just, the slider ain't sliding. Like, the velocity is not there.
No.
But he's still, you know, if the slider was working without the velocity, then you might have something. But ain't nothing you're throwing out there working right now.
Right. He just doesn't, he looks lost on the mound. I guess he's talking about getting to 2 strikes easily, but not being able to finish batters off, obviously.
Then get that. They need to shut him down. I don't even feel like going in and breaking. Shut him down.
I'm with you.
All right, because right now it's not going to work. And I just told you earlier, Snicker and his loyalty will keep him in the lineup.
How much longer, though? One more start or forever? Does he just get to keep being bad? Because he's got an 8 ERA right now.
Well, hell, I thought the last start in L.A. was going to be that one. But, no, it's this one. But I think it should be this one, but the Snicker think that. No, I think he's going to give him another one. And then his stick will come in. Well, Bobby's coming around. And then he'll keep it in there again.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got to be patient with things like this.
He's coming around.
Because you're 21 and 21 right now with a lot of talent, but a lot of losses he didn't have to have. Last night was the worst loss of the year.
They got their teeth kicked in.
It was early. 11 to nothing at one point last night. It ended up 14 to 3. That's the worst loss this team's had since 2017.
Why does it seem like. Maybe because of the way they've been losing and how they've lost games here. Why does it seem like they had a lot more blowouts like that?
Yeah, because recently, the 9-0 against the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's like they've had more blowouts than that.
Yeah, disaster of a performance last night. Now, there's some good news, too. Austin Riley's on the way. We'll talk about Austin Riley and what that means coming up in 20 minutes.
It's definitely a possibility, but, I mean, it's not sure until it actually happens.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been before?
I've never been.
And I'm never going.
Zion Williams, he going.
Maybe. He didn't sound like he wants to go, though. Zion Williams is talking about New Orleans.
Man, you're crazy. You think I'm going to trade that pick. There's no way I'm trading for Zion. Well, no, I should not say no way. It depends on who's there. Who I can get for that number one pick. Like this, would you give up LeBron James for the number one pick if you're New Orleans?
Yeah.
But he don't want to go either. See what I'm saying? Like, LeBron don't want to go to New Orleans either. He don't want to be there.
Yeah, that's going
to
be tough.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who wants to go to New Orleans? That's the thing about it. Who wants to go? Like,
I'll go for a weekend.
Oh, hell yeah. That's my favorite city in America, dude. Don't get it twisted. But, like who would want to go? But, again, you can trade it, so you really have no choice because LeBron does not have his no-trade clause anymore.
Maybe LeBron could buy the Pelicans. Maybe he'd just become the owner.
I'm just curious.
He's
like,
got enough money.
What are they going to do? You got to draft him. We know he don't want to be there. I think y'all pretty much know that he doesn't want to be there.
Now, all right, let's be honest about this, though. I mean, that was Zion sounding wishy-washy about the Pelicans. We also have him talking on ESPN after the lottery finished as well, sounding nervous, saying that he was nervous. Are we being a little extra with this and putting something on this that isn't there? Or do you? Because I don't think so. Like I legitimately believe that Zion Williams does not want to go to New Orleans.
I don't think
based
he wants to go
on
New
the
Orleans.
Way that he reacted last.
I don't think he wants to go to New Orleans, and I know he didn't want to go to Memphis. Okay, again, I got children, and when they're gassed up for something because you keep hitting it over and over and over again, and the disappointment of when it doesn't happen. Because you remember, he's very mature. He's he's humbled. All that. Yeah, he's all. But he's still 19-year-old. And he was hearing it, and he was getting gassed up, and I'm sure that he just assumed that he was going to New York, Phoenix, or was it Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Chicago.
Atlanta. Because the teams that had the best chance.
Did we talk in the days leading up to the lottery, did New Orleans come out of our mouth one time?
No.
Did Memphis come out of our mouth one time?
New Orleans might have come out of our mouth if we were saying something bad about the Saints.
But other than that, has it?
No.
And it didn't.
We haven't talked about Memphis ever.
So, I mean, I'm sure he's disappointed.
Well, we talked about Memphis yesterday because they fired their AD.
Yeah.
Because Penny Hardaway's out there getting all the recruits.
Penny getting them all, huh?
You're right. But also, can't you be a mature kid and know where you don't want to go?
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think Kobe was a pretty mature 18-year-old when he was drafted as well, and he made the right choice. Kobe forced the hand of the Charlotte Hornets to trade him to the Los Angeles Lakers. He ends up in L.A. and, spent the rest of his career there.
How about that?
A pretty nice career, too. He ends up as the all-time leading scorer in Lakers history, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. No, Kareem. Well, Kareem's a buck.
Yeah, so. But he had it split between. I think just as a Laker, he had the most points ever.
Yeah.
One of the great Lakers. So, anyway, we had an interesting conversation with Travis Schlenk, though, back in the 11 o'clock hour. I did not know this. Now, apparently this was public info, but I did not know this. Oh, were you going to? Oh, no, okay. Brian, I thought I might have completely ruined Brian's vibe and played an audio clip that he was planning on playing. He told us that Steph didn't want to go to Golden State. When Travis was working in the front office there, he said, I want to go to New York. I don't want to play for Golden State. They took him anyway, and things worked out. So there's two sides of it. You could do what Kobe did, force your hand, and it may be a workout.
Uh-huh.
Or do what Steph did, try to force your hand, end up going to a place, and it worked out there for him, too.
It worked out for everybody.
It
worked out for the league. Everybody.
Didn't work out for the Knicks.
Oh, no, because the Knicks are just going to be the Knicks.
They take? The guy from Arizona? Solomon Hill?
Solomon Hill.
Is that who they took? Cool pick, Knicks.
Great job, Knicks. Great job.
Not as bad as the Timberwolves, though.
But that's what we're trying to say. Like, can Zion flex his muscle? I mean, I think it's common knowledge he don't want to go there.
How hard would you have to flex?
To get out of the number one pick in the NBA draft? and you're him as far as your talent wise. It's your talent.
This is not DeAndre Ayton didn't want to go somewhere. This is the guy that teams have been tanking for. This was one of the most talked about number one overall picks of all time. I mean,
he'd have to do something that would not require him going to jail or something. You know, you can't do something just off
he'd
the
have
wall
to do
crazy.
The worst legal thing
you could do. Yeah, the worst legal thing you could do. I mean, it's can you hold out?
You could.
But, I mean, you're still their property, though.
Right.
You make it to a point where
you're not going to play anywhere.
You could be such a, yes, you know I'm saying, you're not going to play. But you make it so bad that they trade you. Like, he doesn't seem like he's that type of person
to be like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
now, how hard would you have to flex? Say you had a city that you wanted to go to. There was one specific play, because Kobe wanted to play in L.A.
Right.
And he made that very clear. They made it happen. Now, he was the 13th overall pick, so it was a little different. Say Zion just because he tapped the Hawks logo last night.
Yeah, so
you saw him do that. I mean, obviously that means that Atlanta would be the city where he would want to go to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How hard would he have to push to make that happen?
Before I go there, the Trav says, "Hey, give me Zion. I'll give you 8-10 and Trey. You taking it?
No.
Okay.
I'm not doing.
I'll give you 8-10 and John."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing that. Okay. Not everybody wants to hear that. We had that conversation last month, and people got pretty mad about it, but no, I'm doing that. All right, before we get to the next most important audio clip in the universe, let's give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Shallow. Shallow. Really, it is. S-H-A-L-L-O-W. Shallow. To 72881 from your cell phone for your chance at $1,000 in the National Signing Bonus Contest.
Win some money.
I don't really have anything to say about Shallow.
My man named Teflon Slacker says he could withdraw from the draft.
He could.
He could.
But then he's not going to get any money.
Yeah, I mean.
He can't go back to Duke.
But he.
Well, I guess he could go back to Duke at this point, right?
He signed with agent.
Oh, did he sign
agent? Yeah, but my thing is he could withdraw. I don't think money's going to be a problem because I think Nike's going to cash him out. So, but does he want to? He's only 19.
Then what do? You just hang out?
Yeah.
Go to the mall with your buddies?
Yeah.
And what's he going to go fishing?
That'd be bad if he does that.
That would be a big disaster.
That'd be a disaster.
That would be a humongous disaster.
He might get to go where he wants to go.
Then he might get to go. How long? How long do you have to wait? 4 years till your contract expires?
Yeah.
All right. None of this is going to happen, so let's move on to something else.
What it does give us to do, the opportunity to do, is to look at all the options available, whether it be to try to package. You know, we have 5 picks in this draft, and, you know, they're all in the top 44 of the draft. So, you know, we like all our picks, but, you know, maybe we look to package, you know, some of those picks to move up in this area of the draft. Or maybe we like last year, maybe we, you know, see that there's a guy we like that maybe we can slide back from one of those spots and still get them and be able to add more future assets. So anytime you have 5 picks, it just gives you a bunch of optionality.
That was Travis Schlenk about an hour ago with us. If you missed the entire interview, it's available on 929thegame.com. It sounds like I don't know if he's itching to do something, but it sounds like he's very, very willing.
Yeah.
Optionality is the word he keeps using, which I very much like.
You like that a lot.
Well, we kind of silly.
We had some fun with it yesterday.
Yeah, we kind of dirtied up the word optionality yesterday.
We had some fun with it.
But it sounds like he's very willing to make a move and look, whether it's move up or whatever. I would love if it was. I just don't know how far you can move up with 8-10.
I don't think anybody knows. Unless you add more parts to that thing. But one thing we know about Travis, he talked about it. You can move, he's willing to move back and still get the same guy that he wanted. And right now with those 5 picks, neither one of us believe they're going to draft, use all 5 of those picks. They're going to move somewhere, maybe assets for the future, next year's draft, something like that. But, I mean, when you look at how young this team is and you got these 2 picks, if you use both of them, you got to hit a home run on both of them. All right, I really do believe that because I'm on the mindset of looking at the Hawks as they're ready to go now. Not necessarily championship, but let's get to the playoffs. And if you can find a guy and a guy that is a strong defensive player in one of those picks that you can match up with Trey and John on that perimeter, I think you got some.
If you use both 8 and 10 and stay put and make those draft picks, I'll take one of them being a home run. I don't need both of them to be a home run. I mean, I would love it if both of them
were. I would love it if both of them were a home run, yeah.
I mean, give me that, please. I just feel like, and maybe this is, maybe this one thing has nothing to do with the other, but if you're a general manager and you are drafting for long enough, you're going to have great picks.
You're going to have bad ones.
You're going to have misses.
Just like he said, you know, a lot of these kids, when they get to the NBA, they think, I'm in the NBA, I made it.
Just like, you asked him about why. There's a million different reasons why it doesn't work out. Probably keeps him up at night. Thinking, can I trust this guy? Oh, is man. He actually as good as I think he is?
I bet it does.
Yeah, just staring at the ceiling at night, trying to count sheep, and you're actually thinking about, you know, DeAndre Ayton or something like that. Anyway, my point is, he's hit on a lot of stuff already.
Yeah.
So the odds would be that eventually he's going to miss on some stuff. Like, I feel really good about
you.
Don't
put that out there in the universe, Andy.
It's true, though. Like,
but not yet. He ain't done it yet.
Maybe he'll just always hit home runs. Maybe he's going to get 19th pick, and it's going to be John Collins and Kevin Herter, and they're all going to be great. And maybe they will be. It's possible. But that's why I'm saying, just based on the odds, I'll take one of those two draft picks being great.
I need them both to be great. I need them both to be great.
I want them both to be great.
I need both.
Okay. All right.
I need 8 and 10 to be studs.
Okay. I'll take that. I'm with you. We'll come back. We'll get into some Braves. Austin Riley is with the team today. Is he going to start? He should. We'll tell you why coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, you can join 92.9 The Game this Friday from 10 to 2 as the midday. Hey, that's us. That's us. We'll be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
You don't say.
I do. Stop by Twin Peaks and Buckhead this Friday for lunch and hang out with 92.9 The Game.
Hey.
That'll be fun. I love just, Twin Peaks.
I was just sitting there messing with our on-site engineer, Eric, and he was like, I got a broadcast. He said, he's broadcasting Friday for Twin Peaks. I said, Dukes of Bell going out there. And him, Dukes of Bell. He didn't even know what time he got to be out there. So, y'all come on out to Twin Peaks, some holler at us.
You told Eric, this is one of my favorites. It's an insult, kind of, but not really, because it's his job, but it was, the way you said it was brilliant. You told Eric, he was out there talking trash, you told him, why don't you go outside and set up a broadcast or something? That's what he's supposed to do. But the way you said it sounded so disrespectful.
It's so fun messing with Eric, man. Those are my guys. Him and Mike, man. I mean, that's one of the reasons I like to come here, because I can just mess with them all day. Mm-hmm. They don't take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they pick at me too. So.
So we'll be out there with Eric.
Sweet.
And Wendy.
Wendy, you coming with us?
Yeah, you'll be out there Wendy's on Friday. Coming. Okay. And then you guys could come by and say what's up as well if you want to on Friday from 10 to 2 at Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
I'm so honored.
Me too.
They're allowing us out of the studio.
Maybe let's tone it down a little bit so we don't we seem so excited they might take it away from us.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
You know how they do around here.
That's happened to me before,
like,
too.
Producers talk, and then they're like, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to turn off the microphones. All right. We'll get to some Braves in just a minute. I wanted to ask you, Randy, as well as in 20 minutes from right now, we'll talk to Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel to get you ready for the PGA Championship tomorrow. Very much looking forward to that. Maybe Tiger can go back-to-back, although many golf experts don't think so, given the conditions. We'll ask Todd Lewis about that coming up in 20 minutes.
Say it again, who?
Given the conditions.
Who said something about the conditions yesterday?
You did.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you also are a golf expert.
I ain't going to say all that. You can say golf experts and Randy.
And Randy.
Yeah, there we go. That would
Many golf experts and Randy McMichael think that Tiger Woods is going to struggle with the conditions. I will ask Todd about that coming up in 20 minutes. I wanted to ask you about this, Randy, because we were talking to Travis Schlenk about an hour ago, and you asked him the question of, what does the next 36 days look like for you, being that we're 36 days away from the draft? And he talked about meeting with players and doing all of your analysis, and a big part of that is meeting the players, meeting the kids for 30 minutes last night and then through the draft process going forward, trying to figure out who they are.
Right.
You went through that when you were being drafted in the NFL. What was that like? How do teams go about trying to figure out who you are in such a short period of time?
It really is a nerve-wracking thing, because I always believe this. Teams look for reasons not to draft you.
Sure.
And when you're in a process like that and they're asking you questions and you're like, well, I think this is the right answer, but it's the answer they want to hear. You know, it's different teams for different questions for different teams. The worst was the Giants. Giants, you know, they're just – I'm like – that's the, if you want to be a cat or a dog and all this other what does that have to do with me playing football?
That's what they asked you?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I think I said dog.
Yeah. Georgia Bulldog is pretty easy.
But it's like, you know, it's different when they come see you. Like when Patriots and Jacksonville, like they came up to Athens and saw me then. When I went and flew out to visit teams, it was completely different. It was a more laid back dinner type thing. But for some reason, when they get you in that building, the grill session happens. You're just like, well, I think that's right. what do you think I should be?
I think that would be the worst thing you could say.
Yeah, what do you think I should be?
Because then you come off passive or something like that. Yeah. But you're right. It's all a mind bleep.
Yeah, that's all
that's
it is.
That's what it is. They're trying to mess with your mind and see if they can get an idea of what you'd be like under pressure or something like that. My question is just, I wonder if there's, because every team has their own, whether you want to be a cat or your dog, or they have these weird little like moral quandaries that they put you in and see how you would try to get out of it. Do you think that there actually is like a specific question or type of question that you could ask someone and really reveal who they are? Because that's what they're looking for.
Unless you say something about something, they ask you something about, do you like drugs? And you say, yeah. Okay, that's pretty obvious. But some of those other questions, you don't really know. Okay, I'm being honest about this, but at the same time, you're like, they might be looking at you like you're crazy. You know, I like blue. Well, our uniforms are orange. You know, it's stuff like that. Well, we can't draft you. Your favorite color is blue. Like, that's the kind of stuff they try and throw at you.
I do remember, I don't remember who the player was, but that question was asked, and he said the color blue, and then they inferred that he was a gang member. They're like, oh, see, he likes blue, like the Crips.
Yeah.
If he would have said
and
red.
And you're sitting there like, really? Like, I just want to play football.
That's like blue. It makes my eyes look good.
I just want to play football.
Yeah.
That's it.
But that's what the process is now for Travis Lincoln, the general managers of all the other teams, trying to figure out, A, can the guy play? B, is he, you know, mentally stable for us to draft him and allow him to come be here? That does not seem like a process that I would be interested in. I would be fun and enjoy the talent evaluation part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to figure out whether or not a guy has what it takes upstairs to play in the NBA because I don't think that you can – I don't know how you can actually do that.
I mean, that's Trav's job though, right?
Oh, it's his job.
That's his job.
He's going to have to try to do that. And you know, he also said that personality or fit or whether or not somebody's a good guy sometimes will trump talent. He told us that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's important, especially when you're building a young team. You know, when you're building a team that, you know, most of your stars are young, you got to have those young guys who all have – that you have the ability to mold their mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You don't want nobody to come in already half crazy. You know what I'm saying? You want somebody where they're still wet behind the ears. You know, they're still green. And that you can put them in a system and say, this is how we do that here. And then you get them to a group where that's second nature. That we all look the same way. We all talk the same way. That's why I was talking about the Falcons with the whole brotherhood thing. Now, I make fun of it and everything, but it is what it is. That's their mantra, and everybody sounds the same when they talk.
Yeah, you can tell that Dan Quinn's message gets across because everybody uses the same words.
Yes.
Everybody phrases their answers the same way Dan Quinn does, and the catchphrases and the words that he uses. Oh, yeah. They're hearing what he's saying. There's no doubt about that. You said it was the Jets that asked you that question?
Yeah, they asked me some crazy stuff. I went to visit them, so it wasn't that bad. Hermer's cool.
The Jets are in the news again today. They've fired their general manager, which isn't the biggest news in the world. We knew that was coming. What I didn't know was coming was that Adam Gase was going to be the interim general manager. So right now, Adam Gase is in charge of everything related to the New York Jets.
What's their own name? Woody somebody, whatever. Thank you, Brian. What's it? Woody Johnson. Thank you. I don't know if he's doing because wasn't he supposed to get an ambassadorship somewhere and his sons? Whatever. What the hell did Adam Gase do to y'all trust him with y'all organization?
I don't know.
Did you not see what he did in Miami?
Yeah.
Did you not see that he ran off all the best players on his team?
The whole time he was, and nobody liked him. Nobody got along with him.
Except Jay Cutler.
In the room. Right. And that's the thing. That's why I said this to you. If I was Jay Cutler, I would text immediately.
Yeah.
Try to get yourself, you know, just a clean, maybe $4 to $6 million backup quarterback.
Hey, Adam.
Salary.
Adam. It's Jay.
Adam. I remember the system.
It's Jay.
I still know the system. Let me come in and mentor Sam Darnold.
As soon as he said mentor Sam Darnold, and I hung up on him. But yeah, that's great. But we heard a lot of stuff coming out up there about him and McCagney not getting along, and then they have to sit down and do a press conference together. They're like, no, we're good. And for this to happen, I mean, they fired McCagney and his right hand man. And so you're like, okay, so who's going to be GM? They said Adam Gase is going to be our interim GM. Really?
It's a great move.
Really?
It's a great move. I mean,
now does he get double the check?
Yeah, I think and I let him make all the decisions right now too. He's got a very sound track record. Very Jets. The Jets are going to jet.
Yes.
Like we talked about last night with the NBA draft lottery. It was very Atlanta.
Yeah.
What happened last night in the NBA draft lottery. This is very Jets. But it was also, unfortunately, very Atlanta what happened to the Braves last night, what happened to Mike Fultonevich.
Foot spinning him.
He talked after the game saying that he's not hurt.
Everything felt fine. Just leaving a lot of pitches up. I'm getting in early trouble with base hits and walks and getting guys on base. And, you know, that's how, you know, I get them 3-run home runs. You know, we didn't have a shutdown inning either. You know, I wasn't out there long. But, I mean, everything was, you know, feeling fine. We said a lot of the pitches were just up in the zone. Even the changeups today were up in the zone. And they can just, you know, at least foul it off or do something with it, put it in play. You know, but they did their damage when, you know, they got their runners on base. And, you know, they go from there.
I know you don't often say this, and I don't mean this like I want something bad to happen to Fulte, but it's not good news that he's healthy.
Oh, I agree.
Because if he was hurt, then you could justify the disaster that he's been since he's come back. The fact that he went and look, he's going to say he's healthy probably. There may be something behind the scenes.
You know me. I'm all for it. If you're out there, you got to play.
Sure.
I wouldn't mind him saying, yeah, it's giving me a little trouble. Wouldn't mind it. Wouldn't mind it because it seems like something's wrong.
Because if it's true that he's fully healthy.
And you're playing like that?
Then he's just bad.
Yeah.
And that's not good because he's supposed to be the best pitcher in the rotation.
And then who would that be an indictment on if he just keeps going out there and getting shellacked?
That would be an indictment on Brian Snicker. That would be an indictment on him and his loyalty.
There it is right there. The loyalty part of
it.
I mean.
It's a good thing sometimes.
But we talk about this all the time.
But not all the time.
Because we call it the Gwinnett shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
What makes them so allergic to that when it comes to Tayron, when it comes to Fulte, when it comes to guys like that?
I'll be
when
honest,
it comes to Ender.
There are certain rules about guys' service time.
I don't know exactly. That's not what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, when they get taken out of the position that they're in. Because every time the kids mess up, they're gone.
Right.
You know, you yank them down, you move them out. Why can't you do that? Why are we so loyal to those guys?
Yeah, and I don't know in Fulte's case. I know he had a really good year last year. He was an all-star. But it's not like we're talking about a guy who's got 10 years of track record.
He was an all-star. Why was he an all-star last year?
Because he had a good first half?
Okay.
What would your answer to that question be?
I don't know why he was all-star. That's my answer to it. I don't know. Why was Fulte an all-star? That's what I said. Why was he an all-star?
Because he was pitching well. He had a good first half of the season. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Is he all-star worthy?
I think last year he was in the first half of the year. I mean, but that my point is, it's not like we're talking about a guy who's been an all-star 10 years. It's the same thing with Sean Newcomb coming into this year. Why was he assumed to be in this? He isn't a great long-term
Because I remember,
track
you know,
record.
In the first half of the season last year, weren't we talking about Sean Newcomb as an all-star too?
He almost was.
Okay.
And now they're not. But Sean Newcomb got sent down, and it fixed him.
Yeah, it fixed him.
Maybe that's something that Fulte would react to as well.
He was sent down in rehabs, when rehabs starts, and he didn't look good then.
I agree with you. They have to do something about it. Austin Riley's coming up, though. He'll save
Woo-hoo!
Todd Lewis is coming up next from the Golf Channel. We're going to find out what it's going to take for Tiger Woods to win the PGA Championship this weekend at Bethpage Black. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael here with you in the Kia Studios. Coming up, top of the 1 o'clock hour, we'll get back to the trending topics of the day. The NBA draft lottery last night. The beating that the Braves took at the hands of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about how Steph and Clay looked like Steph and Clay last year.
We haven't even mentioned
it. Yeah.
We'll get to that in what's trending as well. Because, it was a Western Conference Finals basketball game last night and got lost in the shuffle just with everything that happened with the meaningful lottery game. It was a meaningful game.
Yes.
A meaningful basketball game was played last night. It wasn't the most entertaining game, but it was meaningful. Meaningful golf is going to be played this weekend as well. And Todd Lewis is joining us here for Bethpage Black in New York to talk to us about it. And, Todd, that's where I want to start. Is it unusual for you having to talk about and cover the PGA Championship in May as opposed to August like normal?
It's unusual to be at a PGA Championship wearing gloves in 3 or 4 layers
exactly.
Like we're doing.
Right.
It's cold. It's not unusual. It's a big championship. It's a big event. I actually kind of like the schedule now because you got the Players in March. You've got the Masters in April. You've got this championship in May. Then you go U.S. Open, the Open, and then the FedEx Cup playoffs, and ultimately the Tour Championship there at Eastlake in Atlanta. So I kind of like the way that you have a big event every month beginning in March.
Hey, Todd, Betplay's back. It's already a difficult course. How much more difficult will it be with the weather?
Well, the ball's not going to travel very far, at least as much as it would in August. And this is a big ballpark. It's a par 70, more than 7,400 yards on the score. Par fours that are over 500 yards. And the rough here, I mean, it's not long, but it is incredibly dense. And a lot of times, if you miss the fairway, you're going to be just hacking it out trying to save par. So, you know, it's the weather is going to be an aspect. But this golf course still would be hard in the middle of summer as much as any other time of the year. I don't see a very low-scoring major championship. I see the winning number to be somewhere hovering around 500 or 600.
Todd Lewis joining us from the Golf Channel. You can follow Todd on Twitter at ToddLewisGC. Now, Todd, this has been a major championship course before. There's been a couple U.S. Opens here.
Yep.
How is it different this weekend than it was the last times we've seen it for the U.S. Open?
Well, just the weather, as we talked about. I mean, those other times have been played in the summer where temperatures were in the 70s and 80s. It'll be 10 to 50 degrees cooler here. I think that's the biggest thing. But also, no, I take that back. It's not just the weather. It's the condition of the golf course. Because you're playing in spring time compared to the summertime, in the summer it's going to be firmer, a little drier. Here it is green. Like I mentioned, the rush is lush and thick. So you're going to have a much more green golf course than you would have in the middle of the summer, but that doesn't make it easier. The greens may be a little more receptive, may have a little more grass on them than they would have in the summer. But like I mentioned, it is just carnage outside these fairways. You definitely have to find the short grass.
Todd, it's been a long time since Tiger's come into another major as a defending champion of Alaska. And when you look at he's being paired with Koepka, who won it last year, and Molinari. Of those three guys, and I'm not saying you're a betting man, but I am, who do you think will be the final pairing on Sunday?
Of those three who will be in the final group?
Yes.
Give me something. That's a good question.
Give me something, Todd.
It would be Brooks and Tiger, I think, without a doubt. I think Brooks has got such a chip on his shoulder, so much confidence right now. He's proven that he could win on big venues, reigning PGA Tour Player of the Year. However, you come to this golf course. It's a big golf course, so Brooks's strong power game will fit well. But when you come to a golf course like this, you have to be a good manager. And if you watch what Tiger has done in his comeback, he doesn't have his swing speed that he had in 2000-2001, especially if you look at that final round of the Masters, he was basically the guy who didn't make the most mistakes in that final round. He didn't shoot like a 62 or 63. He shot 68 and let everybody else make the mistakes around him. And that's an intelligent, experienced, obviously Hall of Famer doing that. He made a wonderful parallel that I've made several times over the last few years. To Peyton Manning yesterday, when Peyton Manning came out and he was playing for the Colts, I mean, he was a gunslinger. He had his fastball. But because of the injury, that neck surgery that he had, he didn't have it anymore. He went to the Broncos and he became a good game manager and ultimately won a Super Bowl. Well, you're seeing that with Tiger right now. I mean, with this back fusion surgery, he can't hit it like he did in the height of his powers. But he knows where to place the ball. He plays to his strengths, and he doesn't try to take as many risks as he would have 10 or 15 years ago. And ultimately, his B game, compared to where he was in 2001, is better than a lot of players' A game.
Well, and obviously being able to manage Augusta was something that we saw him do last month. He knows that course incredibly well, and it ended up in a victory. Can he game manage, to use your term? I think that's a great analogy. Can he game manage his way around Bethpage, given as long as it is?
I think it's more important to be a manager here than at Augusta National. At Augusta National, you don't really have significant rough or a different heavier second cut than you do here. So it is important to make sure you're finding the fairway. So, if he's feeling a little squirrely with his driver and he wants to hit a three wood and have a 200-yard approach to the screen, that's better than somebody else pulling out a driver and hitting it 40 yards farther, but in the rough when you don't have a shot at holding a green. So, yeah, I think his game management and his experience is going to be probably his biggest weapon this week.
Todd, give me another guy that we didn't need to look out for this weekend. I mean, is it Rory? Is it Ricky? Because we always want to say it's Ricky, but, of course, he never seems to come through for us.
I would look out for Xander Schauffele. This guy is not getting a lot of attention, but if you are in the bowels of golf like I am, you would understand that this guy is a rising star. He won a WGC event in China this year, which is an elevated event on the PGA Tour. He finished second at the Open last year. He finished second at the U.S. Open last year. He's ready for a big leap from contending to winning. He's pretty long off the tee. And I think he is one of those gritty, grinded-out players that is gathering confidence with each and every start and ultimately will win a major championship, and it might just be here this week.
You just made my partner so happy because that's his guy right there. He's been on Xander for a little while right now. That's his guy right there.
I would not also sleep on Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler has had some really good, I think, 8 top 10s in his last 12 or 15 major starts. Mm-hmm. He's sneaky long. He's 30th on the PGA Tour in distance, which is needed out here. Good putter, great bunker player. He can get it in the hole when you need to get it in the hole. He wills the ball in the hole. I think he's obviously on the cusp of winning a major championship. This might be his week as well.
Another guy, last one for me, is I got Phil. What do you see what he's going to be able to do this week?
Well, first off, on this track, he has a pretty good record. Mm-hmm. Finished second to Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open in 2002.
Right.
He finished tied for second to Lucas Glover on this track at the U.S. Open in 2009. He's top 25 off the tee in distance. However, sink this in, he's 212th on the PGA Tour in driving accuracy.
Did we talk
about how much you've got to hit the fairway here? So he needs to get that figured out. I don't know if he lays back and it's 3 wood more or whatever, but he's got to be in the short grass.
They love him there, right? I remember
they love him.
Reception that he gets at Bethpage is always pretty crazy. A final question for you here, and again, Todd Lewis joining us from Golf Channel as we're getting ready for the PGA Championship this weekend. I know that this probably isn't going to really come into play that much this weekend, but it is a story. John Daly is going to be riding around in a cart as he plays. What do you make of that?
You know, it's interesting. I just had a conversation with Brandel Chaplin. Brandel's never shy about giving an opinion if you watch the Golf Channel. It's uneasy. I'll just say
really?
That. It's uncomfortable because if you think about it, he's granted a privilege because he has pain in his knee. And okay, I understand that. But Tiger Woods has had pain in his back. Jason Day has had pain in his back. Mm-hmm. You know, all these other players dealing with injuries as well. And so why does he get that advantage? And, you know, I know he went through American for Disabilities Act, and that's fantastic. That's wonderful. And I get it. But I just think it's uncomfortable. Because let's just say if John Daly makes the cut, and then you got a guy who's out here trying to make a living on the PGA Tour, and he misses the cut because of what John Daly did. Well, let's say he misses that cut, and then he ends up not making the FedEx Cup playoffs and ultimately loses his PGA Tour card because he finishes outside the top 125 of the FedEx Cup standings. And it could come down to, you know, what happened at the PGA Championship. Now, these are hypotheticals, I get it, but it's just a little uncomfortable. That's all I'm going to say about it.
No, I mean, you paint a reasonable picture. There's a lot of PGA pros that make the tournament in the PGA Championship. What if one of those guys just barely misses the cut in what could be the biggest weekend of his life as a golfer, and John Daly makes the cut because he's using the cart? You paint an interesting picture, Todd. I appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. That's Todd Lewis from
the
Golf Channel.
Take care, man.
You can follow him on Twitter at Todd Lewis GC.
I'll leave Daly alone, man.
How about a salad, maybe? You know what I mean?
Leave him alone.
Maybe a salad.
He's a life of the party.
And a couple of trips. He's the life of the party, no matter what.
I mean, who was the guy that rode his ankle in the par 3 contest and walked around? It was Finau.
Yeah, Tony Finau.
Yeah.
He walked around. Tiger Woods won a U.S. Open on a broken damn leg.
That was in shape, Tiger, though.
Yeah, well, maybe John Daly should eat a salad and get in shape.
That was in shape.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the trending topics of the day. As Randy said, I haven't talked about the Western Conference Finals game won last night. We'll get to that as well as the Braves and the NBA draft lottery to kick off the 1 o'clock hour right after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.